This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks.
Okay, and today we're going to talk about two places. One will be Teddy's Restaurant in close to downtown Oshawa, and the second's going to be a little winery out in Stouffville?
Yeah,
Stouffville. It's called Applewood Winery. We're going to start off with that because you should always have a drink before dinner.
Yes, cocktail hour.
Yes, so cocktail hour. Applewood Winery. It is... Do we have an address for it? Here we go. 12442 McCowan Road, Stouffville, Ontario. This is something we found when my parents came up to visit. They wanted to go out and do something with us, and we threw out a whole bunch of suggestions, and I was feeling really under the weather at that point, so I didn't really feel up to going to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and we didn't feel up to going to a historical site. We were outside in the cold half the day, so we ended up narrowing it down to, let's go to a winery, and we made two suggestions to my parents. We said, we can take you to one we've been to that we know is good, or we can go to one we've never been to before and take our chances, and my parents said, well, let's try the one we've never been to.
And it's kind of up, if you go on Steeles, like you're going to Ginger and Onion.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of up in that area.
I didn't realize it was as close to Markham as it was. We ended up using Dad's GPS to get there, and then once we were there, we were able to find our way back without a problem.
Yeah.
So it is a winery that pretty much specializes in doing a lot of fruit wines, which sounds redundant because almost all wines are made of fruit because of grapes or fruit. But they do not just, they do regular grape wines, but they also do a lot of funky wines.
Yeah.
And it is a cute little place. They do have hours throughout winter.
The hours actually weren't listed on the website. I had to call. But they were open until 5 o'clock, I think, throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then until 4, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 on the weekends.
And the full name of the place is Applewood Farm Winery. And the farm part means that they make their own fruit. They grow their own fruit for it. And they also do a
Pick your own.
Pick your own. I was going to say pick as you go. That sounds really lame. They do pick your own fruit depending on the season, so you can always call ahead and find out, or look on the website and find out when there's strawberry picking and when there's apple picking, and go get a big old basket and do whatever fruit preservy things that you do with that. So when you walk in it, it's a cute little building. It's just like, it looks a lot like a lot of the other little wineries we've been to in terms of the decor when you walk in.
Yeah, it has kind of like a barn-like showroom, I guess, mm-hmm. with all the wine there.
Kind of a country feel. Yeah, and it has a nice little bar where they do samples. And it was the vintner and chief bottle washer when we were there.
Owner and proprietor.
Yes. A really nice guy. I did not catch his name, and I don't see it on the site right now. But really nice guy, really friendly, knew his stuff. He makes great wines. We sampled, we probably sampled a good half dozen, and I think my parents sampled a few more. And we went from everything from just regular wines down to the port, which was
a wildberry port.
Wildberry port. It was really good. I think one of my favorites was actually the iced cider. And that was something that we walked in, it made me so happy. They had so many apple wines.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've mentioned before I'm a huge apple wine fan. And to see iced cider, which is like ice wine, just made my heart soar. It was so cool.
It was really good.
And it was delicious. It was very sweet, very strong. It comes in the little skinny bottle, which is normal for an iced kind of beverage because it's strong juju.
It's so expensive to make, too. And just a dabble do you.
And for people who didn't listen to the other wine episode, like an iced wine or an iced cider is something where...
The fruit's allowed to freeze on the vine,
mm-hmm.
and then they press it.
Yes, and they remove, when you let it freeze, you remove a lot of the water in the process, so you end up with a sugar-rich kind of syrup that, with the high sugar content, makes it a high alcohol content, but also all the sugar doesn't ferment out with how mm-hmm. they ferment it, so you end up with a very sweet product. I don't know how they do it for iced cider. I can't imagine they let the apples freeze on the vine.
It might be how they make, iced beer, where they make the wine, and then they freeze it and remove the ice.
And yes, I know.
Concentrate it.
I know that apples can't freeze on the vine. They would freeze on the tree. So anyway,
way to go.
But they also do a raspberry cider that we picked up, a couple of those, the Crazy Eight hard raspberry cider, as it's called on the website, and that was absolutely
that
delicious.
Was really good too.
It's a little pricey. I wouldn't go in and get
it's not like you
a 2-4 of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Case.
But getting, you know, a 6-pack, it's a total treat. That I really want to pick up a 6-pack closer to the summer and keep it around.
Yeah.
Because that would be perfect on like a hot July day.
Yes, it would.
And the other one that really, I think, impressed all of us, Sheila, myself, my parents as well, was the sizer.
Yeah, the Macmead.
The Macmead. There
it is. I got extra brownie points for knowing what a sizer was. I think his eyes almost fell out of his head when I said that word. He's probably not used to having people come in and actually being brewers. Kind of knowing a bit about the brewing process.
So this is, it's a sparkling wine, but it's not overly fizzy. It's not like a champagne.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should say explain what makes a sizer.
Yes. Go ahead.
It's a mead that's created with apple juice.
Yes. And a mead is made with honey. It's fermented honey. or honey one.
If it was any other fruit, it would be a melomel, but in the case of it being apples, it's a sizer.
Apples are special. They get their own word. They're kind of hoity-toity. I've seen them look at the grapes, looking down their nose.
Yeah.
Like, haha, we have our own word. They use wine for everything, not just grape wine. So anyway. But the mac mead, it's a little bit fizzy. It's a little tickle-your-nose fizzy, but it's not going to be a fly-across-the-room cork fizzy.
It does come in a champagne bottle, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, but it's not as highly carbonated as some other things we've had. I liked it. It was just the right amount of fizziness for me. And it is just a perfect balance of sweetness and a little bit of tart. And it's to die for. And the price on it, it's like $13 a bottle.
That's not that bad.
Keep in mind, we're in Canada, and booze can get a little expensive, but when you go to a winery, you really do get the best prices. And I was blown away at how affordable it was for such an awesome wine. And then there's, Sheila just pulled up the directory, the listing for the port, so we can give you the full name of the troublemaker port. Evans Wild Blueberry Port. And it is just, oh.
It was just awesome.
And now, a port, we should explain what makes a port special.
It's a fortified wine, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's got brandy added to it, or some other...
It usually has something added to it to fortify it. They did it for shipping purposes way back in the day, so the wine wouldn't have any problems shipping. Because the higher the alcohol content in a beverage,
the longer it lasts.
Yeah, it gives it longevity. So port used to come from Portugal, or... was involved in the Portugal shipping trade. I'm a little fuzzy on that one. And if you watch, I believe the John Cleese's Wine for the Confused covers port, I want to say.
Not really. I think most of the things that we've heard about port actually have come from the Thomas Jefferson hour.
You're right.
Because Jefferson was a huge wine fan. So he was actually fundamental in bringing wine to North America. Because before that, it was rather dicey. I mean, you couldn't just pop down to the liquor store and get something.
Yeah.
Even the whole way they bought food back then was very different. You had to go to each individual tradesman or grocer and buy these things. And he was instrumental in importing different wines. And he actually tried to get wine grapes to grow in America. Yeah, in Monticello. He didn't have any success in Monticello, though, did he? But he ended up helping.
I don't think the Virginia climate's really good for wines. I don't think it makes...
Good for tobacco, not so much for wine.
Yeah. And he had an amazing wine collection, because wasn't there a bottle of his wine that sold for an insane amount at an auction not so long ago?
I think it ended up turning out to be a fraud.
Really? Because I thought there was one that wasn't a fraud that sold, too. I'll try to find the article later.
Yeah.
I was just reading it the other day, which is why I remember it. But we do listen to the Thomas Jefferson Hour frequently, and I think every couple of episodes there's always a little mention of wine, and he had an amazing collection of wine when he was alive. It was
Jefferson
just staggering.
Jefferson was somebody who enjoyed wine, but he never drank to excess. But he was like a foodie. Like, he loved to throw these dinner parties, and he'd make sure he was seating everybody next to somebody who would be good company for them, and he'd plan all the courses out and match wines with each thing. And
see, that's what I was just going to say. He's the master of the dinner party. And it really reminds me of watching Mad Men whenever they're like a dinner party at home. It always makes me think of Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
So, awesome podcast if you've never checked it out. I think we've mentioned it before, but we can't mention it enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think wine and we think Thomas Jefferson. So, anyway, back to the port. Very strong. You would drink it in small glasses. You wouldn't sit down to a giant goblet of port. If you do, you're going to be...
We're looking in your direction.
If you do, you're going to be in trouble later on.
Yeah. This is a sipping, sipping from a snifter wine.
It's a sipping after dinner kind of wine. Ports have a habit of being a little bit sweeter, too.
Yeah.
So that lends
you don't realize how much you're drinking.
Yes.
Until it's too late.
That lends it to being more of an after-dinner dessert wine than being an aperitif or a with-your-meal kind of wine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to drink port with anything. That'd be so just overpowering. Cheese, yeah.
I could eat snack foods while drinking it, but it's not made to enjoy with a big roast beef dinner or roasted pork or anything like that.
Yeah, you wouldn't want it with the meat, but... I don't even know if I'd want anything sweet with it. I think they'd overpower each other. Like, they suggest,
that's why I suggested cheese.
Yeah, they suggest on the website drinking it with cheesecake. And I think that would be too much sweetness all at once. I'd feel overwhelmed.
It would be cloying.
I'd feel guilty by the end of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, go with a nice sharp cheddar.
Some blue cheese it would be good
blue
with.
Blue cheese it would be good with.
Something that would offset the sweetness.
Ooh, maybe that smoked Gouda.
Yeah.
That we used to get in West Virginia.
Cheese,
that was
that
good.
Would be good.
Yeah. Anyway, back away from cheese. We're going to do a cheese episode someday.
Yes.
We need to do a cheese episode. So, Applewood. We tried. Oh, my goodness. I know we had the... What was it? The Edam? Was that the one? Eden. Not Edam. Edam's a cheese. Eden's the one.
Still stuck on cheese.
Eden was a harmonious... This is the flavor text. Haha. From the website. A harmonious blend of strawberries and rhubarb made this social wine one to remember summer.
A harmonious blend of strawberries and rhubarb make this social wine one to remember this summer.
Oh, okay. We had to add this in. But really good, really sweet. I think we still have a touch left in the fridge to finish up.
Yeah.
Definitely, again, another after dinner wine.
Crowd pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Did we drink it with something?
I think we drank it with fettuccine alfredo. No, chicken and pesto.
We did. And it actually went, even though it was kind of sweet, it went well with it.
Well, because the pesto was kind of oily.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the herbiness of the pesto, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with Applewood Winery. The guy was very knowledgeable, which I would hope so, since he's the guy who makes it.
Yeah.
Very friendly. And it wasn't a patronizing kind of friendliness. It was an honest-to-goodness friendliness. He was very tolerant of us. Because when my parents and us go out, my father's a very gregarious man, and he just wants to chat with people when he's out, and my parents are always decked out in Steeler gear, so it's like being invaded like some kind of by some kind of fan club. And he was just super friendly with us, chatted with us. I think we were there for a good half hour.
Yeah.
Trying wines, chatting, talking. I don't have enough good things to say about the place.
So
I'm looking forward to going back.
Yeah, we will definitely get back there. So if you're looking for a local winery, check out Applewood. They're a little bit northeast of Toronto, north of Markham and Stouffville.
And if you're going to be in the area in Toronto coming up for a visit, especially from the States, I would, if you have the time in your schedule and you are a wine fan, especially of fruit wines or sweet wines, really check them out. Good meads. It's hard to find a good commercial mead.
Yeah.
A lot of people resort to just making it themselves. And if I could be wrong on this, check this out before you trust my word on it, but I want to say to bring more alcohol back to the States than you're normally allotted is not that expensive. So if you happen to find a wine there you really like and you want to pick up a case, check the border regulations, but I think you pay a very nominal fee to bring it back down to the States. It's not like coming up here.
Yeah, it's different bringing it south than it is bringing it north.
Yes, and this is the kind of place that if you've got the cash when you come up, get a case of wine if you like something, because you're not going to be disappointed by it.
And wine makes great gifts.
Mm-hmm.
It always does.
I mean, this is almost like the twin to Foxburg to me now.
Yeah.
We found the sweet wine place that we've been looking for. Because they have such a good selection. They have so many things that we liked right away. And it was just like the first time we went to Foxburg.
Yeah.
They were super friendly. They had a great selection. And they had everything that we were looking for.
So. It's the kind of place that you could take your best buds to.
Yes. Which I'm sure when the guys come up to visit, if we're in the mood to hit a winery, because it's only like half an hour from Oshawa.
Yeah.
It's totally worth the trip out to check it out. Anything else you want to say on Applewood, except that we're total fangirls for it? We're going to put them right up on the shelf next to Flying Monkeys.
That's probably it. That will suffice.
You have fans, Applewood.
Yay!
All right, on to Teddy's. So.
Okay, so Teddy's has been around as long as I can remember. I think it's been around since the 50s.
I believe so. I believe that's what they say when you walk in. It's definitely has a 50s vibe to it.
Yeah, but not like poodle skirts and stuff. More like a diner plus.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not really a greasy spoon, but they do have home-cooked food. And they do have, like, old-school dinners where, like, you have your dinner, your two sides, a roll, and salad.
Yes.
Or soup.
I can draw a parallel to it from Eaton Park. I wouldn't compare it to Eaton Park because it's so much better, and it's not a chain. And that's not that I'm saying Eaton Park is a dive. I love Eaton Park. They have really good food. But Teddy's is definitely two notches above them.
Yeah, because it's made with love.
Yes, it's made with lots of love. It's on the corner of
King and Park.
It's 245 King Street West.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Tons of parking. It's right by a strip mall, so you don't have to worry about paying for parking or trying to parallel park or what have you. Just pull into a space.
There will be a line if you go at lunchtime or dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
If you go around 5 or after, expect to wait a little bit. And they've got like a little signs showing you how long you have left to wait, like 20 minutes from here.
And
only 5 minutes left.
It's the kind of place I would happily wait half an hour for a seat because the food's very good. And I get impatient waiting, but and they don't have the little buzzer things like a lot of places have. You just have to wait in line and wait for them to call you.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I regret. I hope they modernize to that level to where they can give you a little buzzer. And then when it goes off, you know your table's ready. I really like that at restaurants now, because then you can kind of wander away. You're not stuck in line jammed between two families with crying kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the one time at Olive Garden, we just went out and sat on the lawn and played Scrabble because it was an hour wait.
Yeah.
But they are kind of evil that they make you line up in front of their dessert counter while you're waiting for a table. And it's just torture, because their desserts are great.
And the other evil is that you hardly have any room left for dessert.
Yes. But they do to-go desserts. They do to-go pies. The two to really keep your eye on are the strawberry pies and the coconut cream pies.
Mmm.
Do you want to add anything on those?
Rice pudding.
Oh.
Love rice pudding.
It's so gross.
Rice pudding's awesome.
How exactly is rice pudding made? I just know it's this gloppy thing with rice. I think it's disgusting.
You cook the rice, you add cream, sugar, and usually spices, and I think that's pretty much it.
Ew.
And it's delicious.
And it's not delicious.
Take fork, eat.
Ew.
No.
Spoon, probably. Okay. Get more of the goop up. I'm a texture eater, and there are some things that really throw me on texture, which is probably why I enjoy Asian food so much, because they're very texture-oriented foods. So I get some neat contrasts, and I'm like, ooh, neat. But I can't do smooth things with too many weird chunks in them. If they're completely contrasting chunks to the smooth, I'm okay with it. Like, crunchy and smooth, I'm good.
So but if rice was toasted, you'd be okay?
Probably.
If it was risotto pudding, it would be fine?
Probably, but the smooth pudding with the slightly smushy rice in it, just like tapioca, I can't do it. They're too close in texture that it just throws me. It makes me kind of go, ugh.
But you like bubble tea.
But bubble tea's different because it's liquid with the bubbles.
I don't see how that's different, but anyway.
Liquid is different from pudding. That's how it's different. They're more contrasting. The bubbles are chewy and the liquid's liquidy.
Hot roast beef sandwich.
Yes! So, but the pies...
Okay, fine.
We have to talk about the pies.
Okay, the pies.
The pies. So the strawberry pie is just huge and packed of strawberries. It's just
like a deep dish pie.
Yeah, it's just your regular strawberry pie, but it just tastes great. You can get by the slice or the pie to take home. Now, the coconut cream pie is a little bit of culture shock for me.
It's different than my mom's coconut cream pie.
It's different from every coconut cream pie I've ever had, because Sheila says this is the only coconut cream pie she's ever really known, except for her mom's. I'm used to the ones you can get in the States where it's the coconut cream pudding, where it's like a
lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, it's like a meringue, but it has coconut mixed in with it.
Mm-hmm.
Except meringue's the white stuff.
Okay, but it's got the stuff and then it's got meringue on
top. Yeah, it has that baked layer of the egg white meringue stuff that is kind of spongy, and if it's made badly, it tastes like nothing.
Styrofoam.
Yeah, if it's made well, it's really good. And I'm used to my grandmother's who made awesome coconut cream pie, but I hate to say it, Teddy's kind of blows hers out of the water, too.
Mm.
I know, I'm going to get a visitation from three ghosts tonight, and they're all going to kick my butt. But it's really good. It's just the coconut pie filling pudding, and that's it. And then if you get it at the restaurant, you can get whipped cream, and they have toasted coconut topping they put on top, and it's really good.
I call them the crunchies.
The crunchies are amazing.
Coconut crunchies.
If you get it to go, if you get a pie to go, it comes with a little styrofoam container in it of the coconut crunchies. And you take it home, you have to provide your own whipped cream. And we've discovered you can buy Cool Whip or buy canned whipped cream, and it's okay.
But in for a penny, in for a pound, might as well just go ahead and buy that little carton of whipping cream and whip it yourself.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
You have egg beaters. You make cake mixes. Same deal.
Exactly. You just whip it until there are stiff peaks.
Stiff peaks are when you turn the beaters upside down and it looks like a little mountain on top.
Yes.
If you see Mount Fuji, it's done.
Exactly. And if you keep whipping, you're not going to see Mount Fuji anymore. You're going to see a Cajun Bayou.
Yes.
So add a little bit of sugar into your whipping cream before you whip it, though, so it's a little bit sweet. Because whipping cream is unsweetened, and it won't taste like it does if you buy it in a can or something.
Yeah.
That's a mistake we made the first time.
You can make it just slightly sweet.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it super sweet.
Yeah, I think we only had, a tablespoon for a half pint or a pint or something. We don't add a lot of sugar to it. Just enough to give it a hint of sweetness. And then you just slather it on your pie and sprinkle the little coconut bits on it and enjoy. Mm. And then make an appointment with your cardiologist for the next morning, because you're going to need it after all that cream. But anyway.
Especially if you've already eaten at Teddy's.
Their desserts are amazing. Now, their food. The menu is varied and wide.
It's vast and awesome.
Yes.
And it's old school.
So there's everything from a little bit of breakfast to it all the way up to full dinners. Like
turkey dinner with all the trimmings.
Yes. If you're craving turkey dinner and it's not Thanksgiving or Christmas, it's like April, you can pull into Teddy's and get your fix. So Sheila usually gets hot roast beef or a pea meal sandwich.
But I think I have a new favorite, the smoked meat sandwich. It's almost as good as the stuff we had in Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal has turned us on to smoked meat. Now Sheila's has her eagle eye out for it wherever we go. She's like, ooh, they have smoked meat.
Let's go check it out.
Mm. So, and I'm a connoisseur of hot roast beef sandwiches, and I have to say Teddy's is definitely up there with the Rainbow and with Maple's Restaurant, where I grew up. Good stuff. It's huge. There's so much food when you order.
You have your choice of potatoes. So
yes.
You can try and be healthy by not ordering fries. Mm-hmm. Get mashed potatoes or roasted potatoes instead.
And their roast potatoes are so tasty.
They're very good. They're kind of like Greek potatoes, but not as spicy.
Yeah. So your mom would eat them because there's no exotic spices pepper. Sheila's mom doesn't like spicy food, but she doesn't like a lot of spices at all. So we always tease her, be careful. There's exotic spices on that, like salt and pepper. So,
what was the last thing we had when we got there?
That crazy chicken parm.
Yes. It was one of the daily specials, which change every day.
Yes. And it was, you could get it with pasta on the side. So we were thinking, you know, a slab of chicken with the cheese and the sauce and pasta on the side. And they had underneath it, or order it on a bun. So Sheila and I got all excited. We're like, ooh, it'll be like a chicken parm sandwich, like the one we like from Casa D'Amici or the place in Aurelia that we really like, Topps Pizza.
Yeah.
They had that awesome chicken parm sandwich. So we thought, yeah, we'll get that. It'll be great. It'll be kind of lunchies. We were there for lunch for her friend Rick's birthday. Well, my friend too. But Rick's 50th birthday. And we got that, and it comes on a bun, and then they poured like gravy all over it.
Yeah. They asked like you if you wanted beef gravy or mushroom gravy. And I asked for mushroom.
Chicken gravy or mushroom gravy. Wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I figured that they would pour that on the chicken.
Yeah.
And then...
And the potatoes, because we had the roasted potatoes with it.
But it was all over the place.
Yeah.
And you ate it with a knife and fork.
Yeah, it was just
like
eating...
Which was really good, but really different.
It was just like eating a hot roast beef sandwich, but with chicken parmesan, with this crazy mushroom gravy, which was really good.
It was like a tomato mushroom gravy.
Yeah, it was like a tomato-based mushroom gravy. It was really good, especially with the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just kind of weird, because it wasn't at all what we were expecting. And usually when you get thrown for that much of a loop when you go out to eat, it's not as good, because that's not kind of what your expectations are. And when your expectations aren't met, even if they're exceeded in another area, your taste buds get set.
Yeah.
So you're like, but I really wanted this. Like, I run into that, you know, I really want, like, Chinese food, and we decide not to get Chinese food, and we go out and get, like, pizza or something. Even though it could be the best pizza in the world, it doesn't taste as good as it could, because I wanted lo mein or something. But that didn't happen to us at Teddy's. We got this crazy bun full of gravy and chicken, and it was delicious, and it was so filling.
Mm.
And it didn't even look like that much on the plate, but it was just huge.
It is a 4 or 5 on the Aaron portion scale.
Yeah, it expanded in my stomach. It just
and the prices are
them.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was for us, for the two of us with the specials, 2 sodas, and your dessert, I think it was just under 30.
Yeah.
Which is
so pretty
good.
About $15 a person.
Yeah. For beverage and adding dessert on top with taxes and everything, that's really good. I think it's like 29 or something. I mean, that's... And
they have like a great... They have really good service.
Yeah.
Their waitresses are always really pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
They're always really friendly. And they're always really efficient.
Mm-hmm. And ours came with a salad, too, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it came with salad, you had your
platter of food. You want to get the house
dressing. Oh, the house dressing. When I first walked into the place, the dessert, right before the dessert counter, they have this, like, cold counter full of it looks like little pints of milk in the plastic little things, the little jugs, like the long skinny jugs. And I'm used to seeing chocolate milk in those, like, in the States. Like, if you go camp at Cooper's Lake for Pensac, and you go into the store, they'll have these little mini cartons of Cooper's chocolate milk, which is crack. It's really good. And I saw that, and it looked just like the little carton for Cooper's chocolate milk, but it has a different crack in it.
Yes.
It's full of their house dressing. And
you can buy it and take it home.
Oh, their house dressing is so good. Is it like a...
It's like some sort of vinaigrette.
I don't know, but it's creamy. It's not...
It's kind of creamy. It's like yellow with little black specks in it. There you go.
Yeah. We don't know what's in it. We just know that it's a different kind of crack, but it comes in the same carton as the Cooper's stuff. So it's really good. I could put it on any kind of salad.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. I almost want to put it on like a steak salad, with like Pittsburgh-style steak salad.
With the french fries.
I think that would be a perfect mix. And I think you can buy it there, can't you?
Yeah, you can buy it and take it home, because Rick sometimes has it in his fridge.
See, we need to do that. We need to do some Pittsburgh-style steak salads at home and put their house dressing on it, because
that would be awesome.
Anyway, they have really, really good food. Any other things you want to talk about that we've had there? I know the thing Andrew got kind of threw me, but it looked really good. It's called What Teddy Eats.
Oh, yeah, What the Boss Eats.
What the Boss Eats.
And it was like a platter. It had 3 different kinds of meat on it.
Yeah.
And some bread and a salad and what else?
It was like a chef salad in parts.
Yeah.
It was so neat looking, though. And I'm not one to make a fuss over presentation, because it's all going in the same place, which is my belly.
Yeah.
But when something comes out and it looks really cool, it does make me go, hey. And it was literally like a chef salad that had some assembly required, because you had 3 mounds of really thinly sliced, really tasty looking lunch meat. I want to say one of them was smoked meat.
Yeah, I think one was turkey and the other one was ham.
Yeah, and then he had this huge salad with it, and it came with bread and everything, and it looked really good. And I'm not a chef salad fan. But even I looked at that and said, that looks tasty, and I could eat that sometime. It seems like a good summer dish.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of hot out, and when it's hot out, you don't want to eat something heavy like a hot roast beef sandwich or a PML sandwich or whatever. You want something that's cool and crisp, and that would totally fit the bill.
Yeah. And there was a thing that Rick got. We're like, mayonnaise all over.
He loves it. I've seen him order it before. And it's this weird...
It's like this trio of mayonnaise salads. Like, it's got, what is it, chicken salad, tuna salad, and...
Potato salad?
Egg salad,
macaroni salad, egg salad, something salad-y. It's like kind of like throwing garlic and crosses at a vampire when it comes to meat. He showed me that, and I just recoiled in horror, and I think I might have hissed, too. He's like, I don't like mayonnaise, and I don't like tuna, and I'm not a fan of chicken salad, obviously, because it's mayonnaise and cold chicken, which is cold, like roast chicken or cold fried chicken is good. Yeah. Any other kind of cold chicken, I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know. I look at like those kinds of salads and I think of like 1950s Lilacs, Gallery of Incredible Food stuff. And it always comes out. Now, Teddy's, I mean, again, they have good presentation on it. They have the nice
three scoops.
Stacked scoops of food. And that was also something that you think of those kinds of salads and you think of like frou-frou lady food for people who don't want to eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very filling meal. Rick usually can't finish it because there's so much. Because it's tightly compacted scoops of dense food.
Yeah. And so you can take the rest of it home, so it's not a big deal.
They're all about giving you doggy bags if you need it. Because they know their portions are large. It's the kind of place, if you got a large meal, you could probably share it. Or let's say you go there and you've got a toddler. The toddler will easily be able to eat off of your plate.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be hungry. Because I know some toddlers are vacuum cleaners.
Gracious.
But they want what's on your plate. So then you are sitting there going, ah, dang it, kid, I'm not going to take food from you, but I'm still hungry. Mm-hmm. You can easily share with a toddler there, too. I think it'll break Aaron.
Yeah.
Because I think he'll order dessert, too, and then he'll just kind of roll out of the place. So, looking forward to taking him there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed we didn't get to take my parents there.
I know. But they wanted to go someplace with beer.
That was so weird, too. Because we've always been
in
town.
We can go to Teddy's. Is there beer there? No. Well, let's go someplace else, then.
Which makes my parents sound like total alcoholics, and they're not. But they wanted to go out for something like pizza or wings. And we've only been in town in Oshawa at that point for about a month. And Sheila remembers a lot of places from when she lived here, but a lot's changed.
Some of those places aren't there anymore.
And we hadn't quite really spread our tentacles yet to find everything's here, because we haven't been here very long. We're sitting there like, well, if we were in Aurelia, we could have gone here, 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 or here, but we're here, so I don't know. So we ended up going to Wild Wings, and Dad really liked it. And they were happy, because there was beer, and there were wings, and it was like what they were craving. And I think that's what they wanted, something like Wild Wings.
They wanted pub food with beer.
But I think the next time they visit, we're just going to twist their arms and drag them to Teddy's kicking or screaming. I think they're both really going to like it. It's my dad's kind of food.
Definitely.
Teddy's takes cash. They take credit. I think that's it.
And they also do takeout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do debit, too, for Canadians. I say credit, and I think American debit, credit. I always have that problem. I'm never going to be able to shake that. And they do takeout, and they have a separate takeout entrance, too.
Yeah, they just finished remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to wait in line to go get your takeout.
And then look at all the tasty dessert and then say, oh, I need that.
And add a coconut cream pie to my order, too. Thanks.
Know, even though your wife's on a diet and you come home and she screams at you and makes you sleep on the sofa because she just ate the whole pie because you brought it home, that would be horrible. And Teddy's doesn't want you to get a divorce, so you can go to the takeout entrance and get your pie. I mean, your order. So,
is there anything else?
Not really. Applewood Winery, two hearty fat chick thumbs up. Teddy's gets like 20 thumbs up because it's an institution.
There's like no menu available online, but you find all these food review places that are like, you know, 90% five stars.
Even Chowhound had good things to say about it. And usually when you go into Chowhound and look at
stuff, they hate everything.
They hate everything. I don't like Chowhound because they're not happy with anything.
We're the reverse Chowhound.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to go on and trash a place either if we didn't like it. We might say, you might not want to go there, but we'll give you reasons why we weren't happy with it, but why other people might be. You know, different strokes for different folks. So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.